Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
That would be me. Hi. How's everybody today?
Absolutely fabulous.
Bob.
Hi, Steve.
Great to hear you, buddy. Kevin?
Kevin is exhausted from running the generator, running that bicycle 2 hours last night.
I'm in great shape now, though. Steven?
The power is back on at Sunbury Broadcasting Company.
Just so you know, Kev, for the Cardinals, it's a must-win today.
Is it a must-win for the Cardinals today? All right. How about the Orioles? Is it still a must-win for the Orioles today?
Kevin, they're done. The other day, they were down 2-0. I said it was an important game for Baltimore. I said not necessarily a must-win. And he says, "Oh, come on!"
But
Kev, did they play the next day?
Well, as it turned out, it was a must-win for them.
No.
Yeah, if they would have won that game the other day, they would not be eliminated as of today. So, technically, it was a must-win in hindsight.
Do you drink before the shows?
Not heavily enough.
I just look at things as an average sports dude.
Okay.
Well, at least we've got a little more baseball with San Fran.
But here's the interesting part, though, guys. And I've talked about this before. I think in the new millennium, the way sports is now, the key is to just get in. Once you get in, now you have a wide range of things that can happen for you. If the Giants were to win tonight, you know what we would have?
The Giants and Royals in the World Series?
So far, so good, Bob.
One for one.
I thought it was too obvious, but okay. Yeah.
The two wild card winners.
Yeah, the best records went nowhere, did they? Didn't they?
These are the 2-1-game playoff winners.
Yeah, we're still crying in Pittsburgh over the incredible game that Baumgartner pitched against the Pirates. Right.
But my point is, the key is they just get in. Once you get in, a wide range of things can happen. Look at the 2012 Los Angeles Kings, for example. 8th seed, got in, won it. So, when you look at sports today, you know, when the Ravens won the Super Bowl a couple of years ago, did you really think they were the best team?
That's an unfair question to ask me.
But I'm just saying, realistically, they aren't.
I mean, even if I was optimistic, no. Or realistic, rather, no.
Yeah, they were top five team, maybe the fifth best.
But they played well at the right time. In all likelihood, the team that they beat on a long pass play that was a fluke, but a fluke that they executed, they probably beat the best team that day in Denver. Because once you get in, a wide range of things can happen. Well, the Giants and the Royals, if they were to play in the World Series, the Royals have already proven that just they 1-game playoff win. These would be the 2-1-game playoff winners. And that's where we are in sports. That includes college basketball. I mean, did you really think UConn was the best team in college basketball last year? I mean, were they in the discussion in December, January, early February among the best basketball teams in the country?
Not close.
Right, yet they won it.
And if you remember a few years ago, Steve, with UConn, they came into the tournament, I believe, 8th seed or something, and beat Bucknell the first round. Ended up winning the national championship, I believe.
They were the ninth seed in the Big East tournament. In the Big East tournament, they were the ninth seed. And they had to play five straight days to get into the NCAA tournament, and did. So it's just a key to, in today's sports world, to just get in, because once you get in, then the wide range of possibilities exists. The Royals, to their credit, beat Oakland, the Angels, and Baltimore. Most of the summer, all three of those teams were in the discussion as to which one was the best team in the American League. Kansas City beat all of them. They have done a brilliant job of taking these games and making them six-inning games. Because when they turn the ball over to Herrera in the seventh, Davis in the eighth, and Holland in the ninth, Herrera throws 100, Davis throws 98, Holland throws 96. He's the piker of the group. They turn the games into six-inning games. If you don't get them early, your chance of getting them decreases.
Steve, when did baseball change from a mentality that a manager's mentality that your starter really needed to go a good seven, if not eight innings, and you then brought in your ace reliever, Goose Gossage, people like that, for the ninth inning? I mean, now we're saying, as you just did quite well, it's a six-inning game. You get a starter, throws hard for six innings. You got a reliever for the seventh, another one for the eighth, and then your cleanup guy comes in and relieves in the ninth. When did baseball make that switch? Because it used to be starter, one reliever, and if you got knocked out early, you know, you had that mid-range guy that could go, usually a former starter who could go three or four innings.
I really felt the game changed that way when the Yankees did that in the late 90s with Mariano Rivera as the setup guy for John Wetland. I mean, I think that's the time where I started looking at games saying, and at that point I really felt there were like seven-inning games because Rivera pitched the eighth and Wetland would pitch the ninth, and you couldn't touch those guys. And I think along the way it expanded into trying to make it in a six-inning game as much as possible to take pressure off of the starting pitcher. Kansas City does that. They make it six-inning games. How often have they been scored upon in the seventh, eighth, and ninth innings? Not too often in the postseason.
Yeah, they really had a stunning ERA going in through the postseason, no question.
Kevin wishes the games were six innings with the Phillies.
Yeah, you bet I do.
But that is the difference, in all seriousness, where the Phillies situation has been graphically illustrated the last 2 years in particular. The Phillies have been mediocre with their bullpen in the sixth, seventh, and eighth innings of games.
That's kind.
And because of that, they have suffered dramatically in the record. Most teams that win get career years out of those sixth, seventh, and eighth inning guys. That's where they win. They get career years out of these guys. I mean, last year, what did Herrera do last year? What did Davis do last year? Holland's been their closer. But the fact that these guys came up with their best years all at this moment has made a huge difference in Kansas City getting to the World Series. The Phillies, on the other hand, have not been able to get out of their own way in the sixth, seventh, and eighth inning of games, where they'll get off to a good start, feel like they have a good start from either Lee or Hamels or before that Halliday, and not be able to finish the deal. This is what we've talked about in the show repeatedly. The Phillies lack that bridge between the starter and Jonathan Papelbon, who, by the way, I thought did the Phillies proud at Mississippi State on game day.
I miss that. I don't even know if I want to know what he did.
Is he a Miss State guy?
Yes, he is.
I miss that. Go ahead. Tell me.
He was dressed in Mississippi State colors, the maroon jacket.
Yeah.
Had an unlit cigar on the set with Chris and Corso and Desmond Howard and Kirk Herbstreit. Yeah. And predicted games.
With his expertise.
Excuse me, what was the expertise of Katy Perry the week before?
Oh, I saw it.
I'm not saying you're wrong. I'm just saying.
That is an entertainment segment.
What were those guys at ESPN thinking when they booked Katy Perry for Ole Miss? Other than,
an audience that was different than they normally would get.
No, but Katy Perry fans don't get up that early in the day on a Saturday.
I was intrigued when I heard Katy Perry was going to be on, and I even watched that show.
I'm sure they would tweet out to their fans, "Hey, look, Katy's going to be on ESPN Game Day and so forth." But that's an entertainment part. I've always laughed at people who have said to me, "Okay, did you hear Corso and Herbstreit picked against us?" I look at them and say, "Who cares?"
Yeah.
What does that matter?
That is absolute entertainment.
I know, Kevin, I have a different attitude than most people. I understand that.
No, I don't worry about who picks. I find it intriguing when they go through and, you know, quote unquote expert pick, whether it's college or whether it's the National Football League and CBS Fox broadcasters in the studio. I mean, I find it intriguing to hear. I'll give you. Well, in my case, I watch CBS a lot, so I love to hear Coach Cowher's comments, and you know that's fine.
I can't watch any of that stuff. I watch no NFL pregame shows at all. Well, zero, zip, zilch. NBA, no. NHL, no. Major League Baseball, no. I watch none of them.
It's better than some of the games right now. So,
what games are you talking about? No. It's been a good season so far. I thought the Dallas-Seattle game was a fabulous game.
No. It's better for me than watching the game, okay? watching the pregame show means I'm still optimistic. By the time the halftime show rolls around, I'm now tuned out. That's the way the season's been this year.
If they would put Bettis in the Hall of Fame, would you feel better?
No, it wouldn't help. I mean, it would help for a short term. You know, you were talking baseball earlier. I'm very happy to hear the positive news that came out of the Arizona Fall League. 2 hours, 14 minutes as a result of the play clock and some other measures to speed up play. 2 hours, 14 minutes. That's a baseball game that I think I could actually watch.
But that's what they're aiming for. They want you to be able to go to a baseball game and enjoy it. The NBA, for example, was experimenting with a 44-minute game in the preseason.
And by the way, if you want me to watch these on MLBFallBall.com and use my data plan, you better make sure it's 2 hours and 14 minutes.
So I guess we're going to talk some high school football next half hour.
Chief Dave Ritchie is going to be next in line to talk about Lewisburg Southern.
We're going to bang these things out all within the span of less than 10 minutes. It's going to be two, three questions, but we're going to preview all four games. Okay?
Is that one of the questions? Because if that's one of the questions, I want to start over for my part.
You'll go last and like it.
That's why they always save the closer for the end of the game.
While looking for a vehicle, you know that if it sounds too good to be true, chances are it is too good to be true. You get the runaround, gotta go from place to place. Well, you can just skip all of that and go straight to Sunbury Motor Company. Sunbury Motor Company has been satisfying more customers and selling more cars since 1915, so you know they've got it right. No offers that look good on paper or online, and then you get disappointed when you see them in person. Sunbury Motor Company offers a lineup few other auto dealers in the area can compete with. With the inventory area Ford, Hyundai, Kia, and Lincoln vehicles, there will be no problem finding the right vehicle that fits your needs and your budget. And the friendly, knowledgeable staff's ready and able to help you with everything from the test drive to the drive off the lot. See for yourself at Sunbury Motors. Sunbury Motors Ford, Lincoln, Hyundai in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury. And Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. Look for them online anytime at sunburymotors.com.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Great to have you with us. We're in the Sunbury Motors Studio, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Kevin, of course, driving another vehicle around this week. We'll tell you more about that in the next half hour. We are at the point of the season where on Thursdays we want to talk about high school football. We're going to bring in the people that call the games for us. First of all, on the Valley, Lewisburg will be in action. They will take on Danville. The analyst for that is Dave Ritchie. Dave, welcome. It's great to have you with us.
Well, thanks, Steve. I hope everybody's having a good day.
So far, so good, Dave. Let's talk about Lewisburg. What do you like about this football team that makes them tick?
Well, the one thing I like about Lewisburg is over the past 6 years that I've done the games, I've watched three head coaches, Todd Tilford and Jeremy Wynn, and now Michael Ferrara. And what I like about it is the attitude of the athletes. They basically were, years ago, a team that were not real competitive when they had to go and play coal region teams or teams that were a little bigger than them. But right now, these kids have a great attitude. They're not afraid of anyone. And I've watched them beat Southern 1 year and only lose by a point 1 year. And they're really looking forward to this game. In fact, they might have looked forward to it a little bit too much last week in the first half against Danville. They have, I think they've got one of the premier athletes in Drew Newcomb. Just a great defensive back, along with he's the leading rusher right now. They're doing a nice job with the balancing their passing and the running attack. Logan Ikey is another. He's the fullback on the team. Does a real nice job of blocking, especially on the corners when they try to run Newcomb outside. The other thing, the quarterback this year, all right, is Trent Gower. It's his first full year, and he's done a very nice job of passing, getting, I think, two of the best wide receivers I've seen in Noah Inch and Matt Federaka the ball, and they've got speed, and that's the one thing that you can't coach. It doesn't matter if you're in the backfield or if you're in their line, defensive line, linebackers, backs. I think they've got great overall speed.
And the other part, too, they're going up against one of the true powerhouses, so there's a lot of motivation. But what will be a couple of key matchups in this one to allow them to not only hang in there but maybe swing it that way?
Well, I think the real struggle is going to be at the line of the line of scrimmage. The first couple of games, Lewisburg's offensive line wasn't getting a good surge or a good push. They have the last four or five games. Southern has mercy ruled the last 15 opponents they've had, which is just remarkable. But Lewisburg has done it to the last four. The real key that I can see is give Trent Gower a chance to throw the ball, and they've got the receivers that can get open, and they've got the speed afterwards. And the other thing is you don't have to give Logan Ikey or Drew Newcomb much of a hole to get through. And once they do break that initial line of scrimmage, they have a great way of finding the seams and reading blocks, and they have done a remarkable job of getting through the linebackers and the secondary. But the key is they got to get through those four down linemen that Southern's going to throw at them.
Lewisburg at Southern Columbia on the Valley tomorrow night. Kickoff set for 7. Dave, thanks so much.
Well, thank you, Steve, and you guys all have a good day.
Dave Ritchie with us, the analyst for the broadcast on the Valley of Lewisburg football. Next up, WMLP 1380 will have Milton back in action at Mifflinburg. The play-by-play voice, Steve Williams, joins us. Steve, welcome. What do you like about your football team, even though last week did not go well?
Well, the last couple of weeks haven't gone well. Milton hasn't scored in the last 10 quarters. They've really been struggling, and this game tomorrow night is against two teams that are trying to dig some respectability out of the end of the season. Milton's just, you know, they've had some issues early on in the season. They graduated 12 seniors last year. A lot of those guys are actually playing in college right now. But they had a lot of shoes to fill and have not had a whole lot of bodies to fill them with. So they've been very, very inexperienced. The bright spot for this season has been Brandon Stokes. Brandon, who actually didn't come out until halfway through the season last year, has done some great work at running back. And he'll even run the Wildcat for Milton. The last couple of weeks, when they've really struggled, they've had each week they've had at least two starters out of the lineups for varying reasons, and they've even had to go to a completely different quarterback with Logan Bennett. Bennett, just a sophomore, really trying to learn the system. So Milton really has struggled. What they need to do is they need to get some sort of a passing game going that will get their running game going. They've got three good guys in the backfield, but you know what? When the defense loads 9 or 10 guys in a box, it's tough for them to run. Their big, strong running game has always been between the tackles, and everybody's just been able to jam them up the last couple of weeks because of not having much of a downfield passing game. Coach Goodwin will install a couple of new plays a week. Last week we saw him put some screen plays in to try and slow down some of the blitzes, but you know, just being in there, just newly designed plays for them, they went okay, but not like they would have to do to be able to get that passing game established a little bit. So you know, they're going to have to do some work as far as being able to pass, because you know, Mifflinburg brings in a real balanced attack. They're almost even run and pass. They've got a big receiver in Tristan Martin. One of the matchups there is going to be KJ Williams. Will probably be on Martin. KJ, this is just his first year out, but he's a real good athlete. He's learned a lot and has had some tough assignments throughout the season covering guys, but has done well. So you know, he's a senior. Unfortunately, they're going to lose him. But they will have a young team in the next couple of years, or, you know, that'll have some experience coming up through, because they're playing a lot of sophomores and juniors, even a couple of freshmen in there.
Steve, what would it mean to Milton not just to score, but to score first in the game tomorrow night?
It would be big. The last game that they were in was against Shamokin, and it was 14-7 at halftime, and they were in it. The game prior to that was against Lewisburg, and they were in that game at halftime, and for some reason they've just given up that second half. You know, like I said, they haven't scored in 10 quarters, so they need to get something on the board. You know, when I first started covering Milton, these guys didn't know how to win. George came in and he got their heads in the right place, to the point where they expected to win and they expected to be in the playoffs. I don't want to see them lapse back into that. And that's going to be huge. It's going to be tough enough stopping Mifflinburg. I mean, they're going to have to try and outscore them with that running game, but they got to get the ball in the air and make the passing plays go here.
Once again, Milton's at Mifflinburg tomorrow night. You'll hear it on 1380 WMLP. Steve Williams, the play-by-play voice, thanks so much. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Steve.
Next stop, Sealands Grove at Jersey Shore. This will be really the game of the night in the Valley. I think a lot of people feel that way. Sealands Grove at Jersey Shore. Ryan Brandt is the color analyst for Sealands Grove football. Ryan, welcome. Great to have you with us.
Awesome. Thanks for having me on, guys.
All right. Let's talk about this one. There are a lot of things that go into it. Let's get to what Sealands Grove, what did they do well that you think is a staple that has to go well tomorrow night?
They got to be able to move the ball offensively. So far this year, for the most part, they've been the big play offense. When you got, you know, guys like Javon Batts and Zach Adams on the field, big plays come pretty often. But they're going to need to, against this defense, be able to nickel and dime the ball down the field. I think Jersey Shore is going to focus on making sure Javon doesn't get the edge. And a couple of teams have had some success doing that. And they're big enough up front, especially with that Bryce Charles at nose guard, to give some problems to the fullback, Zach Adams, which he's had a lot of success this year. But that Bryce Charles, he's a special player. So I think Sealand is really going to have to be able to put some drives together against this very good Jersey Shore defense.
Jersey Shore obviously is a team that Shikellamy, for example, has already played this year. They played them early in the season. When you look at the matchup, what does Jersey Shore bring to the table that Selins Grove needs that they know they need to stop?
You know, the matchup altogether in this game, it's almost a perfect high school football game. If you love high school football, this is exactly what you want. If Selins Grove was 7-0, we'd have two undefeated teams. One team has a number 3 ranked defense in AAA football in the state right now. It's only allowed 55 points, that being Jersey Shore. Selins Grove is the number 1 ranked AAA defense, and they've only allowed 47 points so far this year. So between these two teams, I mean, you're going to get good defense. The thing that Jersey Shore does, though, Steve, is they're able to run the ball behind Lorson. He does have 208 carries already this year through 7 games. He's only 26 carries off the single season record for carries in Selins Grove history. So I mean, the amount that he's run for Jersey Shore is just—it's crazy. He has over 1,100 yards, 9 TDs, but he's getting 30 carries a game. I think Jersey Shore is going to have to keep him healthy. I mean, we're talking Week 8 against the number 1 defense in AAA in the state. You know, if you go by points allowed. And this guy's had a lot of carries. And last week, Selins Grove faced another guy with Bukowski from Montoursville that was getting 28 carries a game. Very similar running attack, and they held him to a season-low 48 yards. So Jersey Shore, one thing you got to watch out for them is their ability to run the ball. Again, that Bryce Charles, which is a beast on defense, is the fullback for them, so he does a great job lead blocking. But that Lawrenson guy, Jersey Shore is going to have to find a way to maybe keep the carries down but still get the production that you've got out of him, because Selins Grove flies at you with that 3-5, and those linebackers hit hard. It's a tough, tough game for Jersey Shore when you talk about running the ball that many times.
RB, it's going to be an October 17th game. How much do the juices flow because of the matchup?
Oh, there is so much on the line here, so much. Not only for the HAC championship, but you're even talking District 4 AAA. Who wants to play at home? I mean, pretty much who wins this game, if my calculations are right, if these two teams were to make it through the first round of the District 4 AAA playoff, they're going to meet. And it's just a matter, you know, is it going to be in Selins Grove or is it going to be in Jersey Shore? Now, last year, Selins Grove was able to get a win on the road at Jersey Shore and end up losing to them in the district championship. So, you know, that maybe doesn't always work out the way you think it would. But I know both teams would rather play the district championship at home if they were to meet there. And I just, man, talk about it. Heartland Athletic Conference on the line here in this game, and also District 4 AAA seating here, and talking possibly home field advantage. This is a lot. And for Jersey Shore, this is the game on their schedule. Selins Grove has played Mount Carmel, maybe didn't get the opponent they thought. Huge game against Berwick, so they have played, you know, a really good team. But for Jersey Shore, this is the big game. They've had this one circled. This is their regular season coming up for them. And for Selins Grove, it's all about the Heartland Athletic Conference Championship, and it's all about getting home field advantage for the district.
Ryan, thanks so much. Selins Grove at Jersey Shore coming up tomorrow night on Eagle 107. Ryan, thanks for your time.
Hey, thank you, guys. Have a great one.
Shikellamy at Loyal Sock, the play-by-play voice, my broadcast partner, Kevin Herr, the best in the state. Kevin, the preview of this one and where this fits into the playoff picture.
Well, this one right now is all about Kyle Datris and Loyal Sock trying to establish themselves in the AA playoffs with a home game and possibly a shot at home field advantage throughout the playoffs if things work out right. But it all surrounds Kyle Datris. He's just an outstanding athlete, whether it's baseball, basketball, or football. He's been a 4-year starter for Loyal Sock and right now has 1,600 yards passing and rushing cumulative in this season. He's averaging 10 yards a carry and runs the option very, very well. Hides the ball well in his 6'1", 185 frame, and it makes it very difficult for linebackers in traffic to be able to find out if he has the ball or if he gave the ball to the tailback, Marty Clark. And this young sophomore has been outstanding, averaging 9 yards a carry himself with 848 yards on just under 100 carries and 11 touchdowns. They've been the offense for this Loyal Sock team that just puts up some unbelievable numbers. The thing that Shikellamy has going for them this week, though, is they've played an offense similar to this a week ago in Shamokin. They had Tucker Yost, who also hides the ball very, very well and runs the same style of midline option as Datris does. And I think this is going to play very well for Shikalimi, learning from the mistakes of last week and being able to correct those this week in time for the offense of Loyal Sox. Tough part about it is it's on the road on the turf, which makes this Loyal Sox team even faster.
Kevin, when you look at Shikalimi and Todd Tilford's team, where are they better now than a month ago?
They're definitely better running the ball than a month ago. This was a wing tee offense that was kind of modified into a pass first, run second. Not very often do you see wing tee offenses throwing the ball or running the ball about only 60% of the time. It's usually in the upper 60s, almost 70% of the time. It was almost a situation where Coach Tilford felt they had to throw the ball to set up the run. The last couple of weeks, they've been running the ball very, very well, and Brett McCreary has done an outstanding job, averaging 5 yards a carry, and in the last month or so alone, Steve, has about 4 touchdown runs in that 123 carries throughout his year. Actually, he has 6 total touchdowns and 123 carries this year, but 4 of those have come in the last month. And again, a lot of that has been, you know, some of the adjustments they've made. It's also a team that's seen a lot of injuries up front. And when you lose your center up front, and it's a veteran center, it makes it really tough to get everything adjusted. Right now, the Braves up front are playing 2 sophomores and a freshman. That's a really young front. And they've done a really nice job the last couple of weeks at getting comfortable just with the blocking schemes here in this wing tee offense.
All right, so there's the setup for you coming up tomorrow evening on the Sunbury Broadcasting family of stations. You'll have Lewisburg playing at Southern Columbia. That will be on the Valley 100.9. Coming up, Milton will be at Mifflinburg. That will be on WMLP 1380. Selins Grove will be at Jersey Shore. That will be on Eagle 107. And Shikalimi at Loyal Sox, 7 o'clock the kickoff, 6:30 the airtime with Kevin Herr and the coach Dick Hort right here on News Radio. Radio 1070 WKOK. Come back with more in a moment. Neil Riddell next half hour here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. All right, that's our high school roundup for this week. We'll bring the gang back next Thursday to preview the big Friday night games. Once again, Lewisburg will be at Southern Columbia on the Valley tomorrow night at 7. Milton will be at Mifflinburg on 1380 WMLP. Selins Grove at Jersey Shore on Eagle 107. And Shikalimi at Loyal Sox right here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Kevin, we are getting to the point now where when it comes to high school playoffs, some parts of the picture are coming into play. Other seeds are in doubt.
Yeah, and because of the AAA having 4 spots available, it's a little easier in District 4 AAA, and for that matter, Single A, to kind of get a grasp on things. And as RB mentioned in the report, Jersey Shore and Selins Grove are both headed to the playoffs in AAA. That was last year's District 4 AAA championship game. But this one decides basically who's going to host this game. Last year it was Selins Grove, and coming out of the 4 seed, Jersey Shore ends up winning it. Again, if they were to match up in the championship game again, Friday night not only decides the conference, but it also would decide who has home field advantage throughout the playoffs.
You know, the one thing about the Jersey Shore match is that the game last year in the District 4 championship at Selins Grove with Jersey Shore winning really built this season for the Bulldogs of Jersey Shore.
Oh, no question.
And I just think there's a lot on the line tomorrow night in terms of pride and setting a tone. So looking forward to that one.
Where things kind of get a little bit muddy is when you start looking at the 8-team District 4 AA bracket.
Right.
And we talked about this because Southern has Lewisburg. Right now you're looking at the number 1 seed and the number 3 seed. So Lewisburg is trying to solidify a home game, at least for the opening round. Southern's trying to lock up home field all the way through, so there's a game with playoff implications.
And this, Steve, this is the first year ever that Southern Columbia has played anything other than single-A football. So their enrollment has grown enough to jump up a class, and for some reason Lewisburg, even when they weren't having the best of years, always has played Southern Columbia tough, and they've pulled some upsets.
it's about matchups. If you can match it up in an area where you have a strength and it turns out that that's a weakness for them, and for whatever reason, you're the one that can exploit it. Other teams can't because they aren't as strong in that spot as you are. Matchups mean so much as to how it plays out. Next half hour, we're going to transition back to Penn State football. My old friend Neil Riddell from the Altoona Mirror is going to join us to give us his perspective on what we'll watch through the halfway point of the regular season for the Nittany Lions. Our thanks once again to Ryan Brandt, Steve Williams, Dave Ritchie, and Kevin Herr for previewing the games that you'll hear on the Sunbury Broadcasting family of stations tomorrow night beginning at 7. Don't forget tomorrow night's airtime, 6:30, with Kevin Herr and the coach, Dick Hort, here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Next half hour, Neil Riddell, Altoona Mirror. We're in the Sunbury Motors studio today, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, K Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. Bob Buehner, Kevin Herr, and I come back next half hour on News Radio 1070 WKOK.